Are you a single believer looking for the love of your life?
Or are you a married believer looking to grow the love you already have?
If you like practical advice
based on the Word of God
with real life examples,
you're in the right place.
I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
Welcome to Love with the Lines. Welcome to Love with the Lines. I'm Cindy.
And I'm Wayne.
And this is episode 91.
Wow, that's a lot of episodes.
You say that almost every time.
I know, but you know, backwards, it's only 19.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my dear, what are we going to talk about today?
We are going to talk about an article I found. It's called How to Choose to Love Your Spouse Even When You Don't Feel Like It. Now,
ooh,
fortunately for us, we've never had that issue. But I have heard. So it's actually from Crosswalk,
mm-hmm,
and it's an article by Carrie Lawrence from June 26th of 2023. And it starts out saying, besides remembering what love is and how the Lord wants us to love our spouses, we also remember that they are human like we are, and we all have off days.
Mm-hmm.
So would you by chance have a scripture for this?
I just so happen to have a scripture to go with
you
this
might.
That I thought would be appropriate. It's actually referenced in the article, but not spelled out. This is from the Message version of the Bible. It's 1 Corinthians 13. Verses 3-7. And if you don't know the message is a paraphrase Bible, but very understandable. It says, if I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut. It doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't reveal when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trusts God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end.
That is a long one.
It is a long one, but I love how they fleshed out,
mm-hmm,
the verses into modern day language,
right,
and really in ways that apply to our day-to-day lives.
That we can really understand in this generation.
Yes. In fact, I printed this out to be able to read it for the podcast. I think I'm going to take it and hang it up in my office,
mm,
because I need to remember this on a daily basis.
Mm-hmm. Well, the article goes on to say, when you first get married, life is grand. The whistle's not in the article, but anyway. You're head over heels in love. Everything your partner does is incredible, and your future looks bright.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to overlook their bad habits because you're so much in love. The first few years are absolute bliss, and you can't imagine ever being annoyed or frustrated with your partner. They're amazing. However, the longer time goes on, the more comfortable you get with each other. You have good days and bad days. Some days you have to choose to love your spouse even when you don't feel like it. There will be days when you annoy each other and get on each other's nerves, but that is married life from time to time. Well, we've probably experienced that occasionally.
Well, and I think it could be more than from time to time. Sometimes it's a daily event. And I think they're being really generous when they say the first few years are absolute bliss. Now, of course, we got pregnant right away. And so a few weeks before our first anniversary, we had a newborn. So maybe that colors my perception of this. But I don't know about first few years, maybe the first year.
I mean, we're not blissful anymore, baby.
We have our moments.
Yes, we do. But no, I agree. Yeah, I mean, it was all good, but it has its challenges. Even though I had been married twice before, I didn't have any kids.
Mm-hmm.
And you had never been married and obviously never had any kids. So mm-hmm. It was all a new learning experience.
And for me, learning to live with somebody was, mm-hmm, you had already been through that multiple times, but I had
right.
not. I mean, I had a college roommate, but that's a little bit different.
That's a little different.
And it's challenging to learn to live together. And there's research. We should do a podcast on that. There's research out there about people who live together actually don't have better marriages. And I think that if I remember correctly, the divorce rate is higher because something changes when you get married. And so that adds to it too. That's why we don't advocate for living together first.
Well, and I had a, when I taught welding, I had a student that, well, I don't think it's that way anymore, but him and his, I know he had been married before and divorced and he didn't want to get married again. He had a girlfriend that he lived with, and before 7 years would go up, because at that point, if you were together 7 years, it was common law marriage.
In our state.
In our state. And it would be like, you know, 6 years and 10 months, they'd separate. And then they'd come back together. They did that like three times. And then I had ran into him a couple of years after he got out of welding school and said, yep, we got married. I said, yeah, how's it going? He said, we got divorced. He said, I don't know what it was, but he said something changed.
Something changed. Yes.
Yep. So anyway, they go on to say the longer you're married, the more comfortable you get with each other. And sometimes you forget to do the little things. Boy, the little things can be frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
And they give some really interesting examples. Now, personally, I can't relate to any of these. I don't know, my love, if you can or not, but I don't. I can't relate. Anyway, forgetting something in the store. You or your spouse go to the store for something important, like an ingredient for a recipe, or even worse, toilet paper. And they forget.
The cell phone has been a saving grace for you.
It has.
Because I can take pictures of what I need at the store and text it to him. Now, does he still sometimes forget what, even with the picture? Yes. Do I sometimes forget what I went to the store for? Yes.
Well, the cell phone does make it a lot easier, and the pictures are great. The only thing is, there have been occasions in the past where I'll look and I'll look and I'll look and I'll look and I'll look, and then come to find out they changed the packaging.
Changed the packaging.
Because some of the stuff we don't buy that often.
Mm-hmm.
Forgetting to take the trash out. That's another one. Not putting clothes in the hamper in the beginning of your marriage. Chances are they're always putting their clothes in the hamper, but as time goes by, maybe they leave them on the bed or on their side of the bed. On the floor.
The floor.
Yep. Mm-hmm. This causes things not to get washed on laundry day, which causes frustration when needing work clothes. I don't think we really have to deal much with that.
No, that's because you do your laundry and I do my laundry, yeah. Which is highly unusual in married couples.
But it's safer.
It is safer. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, it is safer.
Yeah.
So probably more from your end, it's safer.
Probably.
Than my end.
Yes.
Although I've had some interesting laundry experiences,
you have,
too.
You've had pink underwear for me.
I've had pink underwear.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Anyway, we won't go
there. What's another one on the list?
Yep, what's another one? You've had to deal with this one. Breaking your favorite thing, even though most of the time it's an accident. It's frustrating when things get broken. And the example they give is her husband broke a favorite mug. Was I annoyed? Yes. Do I still love him? Yes. Yeah, you've had to deal with that. And I've broken so many of your things, and I feel bad.
Yes. I think the worst one was when you broke my special angel on the Christmas tree, the one from my neighbor, my landlady, who was like my mother, and it was very special to me. It was one of the few things I had from her, and you broke it. And right after I told you to be careful not to break it, you broke it. I was super upset about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were able to salvage it. It's not the same.
Yes, you were able to glue it, and it's only missing a little chip, but
it's not the same. It's not the same.
But I did still love you, and I did forgive you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but leaving wet towels on the floor, this is another pet peeve for a lot of couples. Really happens in the early days. I don't know if we've really...
We never had that problem. We always hang up our towels, but I understand that that's a problem for people.
Mm-hmm.
Here's one that that we're both guilty of, but it drives me crazy. Leaving stuff all over. Leaving things all over and not putting them where they belong can also be an issue. Things like leaving your shoes lying around or not hanging the coat up or when they get home or leaving work-related things on the dining room table. Wayne and I just talked about this weekend because our house is set up a little different, and so we actually, the entry enters into our kitchen. And then we have a very open floor plan. Well, the dining room is right next to the kitchen. Well, we have a table in the kitchen that acts like as an island almost kind of thing, and then we have a dining room table. Horizontal surfaces can fill up faster than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been on a quest to try to keep the surfaces cleaned up because the clutter gets to me, but sometimes it seems like we just come in the door and pile stuff on one or both of the tables.
Mm-hmm. Yep. But I think we're getting better.
We're trying to get better.
Mm-hmm. See.
Not putting dishes in the dishwasher.
Yep. That can be
Yeah, leaving dishes on the coffee table or a side table that need to be put in the dishwasher. We're pretty good about that. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I know I leave my coffee cup in on my table by my chair where I sit in the morning to do my devotions. Mm-hmm. But
forgetting to fill up the car with gas. Nothing like, what they say here, there's nothing like being almost empty and asking your spouse if they could go fill your car up when they take it out or take it to pick up groceries. We don't usually deal with that.
No, I think we just talked about this recently. I just ask you to take me to go put gas in the car because I hate to pump my own gas.
You don't like pumping gas.
No.
Yep. Forgetting to do that one thing. We all have baffling days where we depend on our spouse to do that one thing that has to get done that day, whether it's paying a bill, doing a load of laundry, or taking a package to the post office. Yeah, we've had to deal with that off and
we've
on.
We've had that. I think the worst one was the time I was away.
I know exactly which one.
Story.
I know exactly which one this is.
This is when Ashley was probably, maybe 8, 9, 10 in that age range somewhere. And
I don't think she was that old. Did she though?
I think so.
Anyway.
Maybe a little younger. Anyway, I was doing some traveling for my job at that time. And I had been away for a week. And the one thing I asked Wayne to take care of while I was gone is Ashley had a pediatrician appointment. Because even back then, it was hard. If you missed an appointment, you had to pay for it. And it was hard to get it rescheduled. And it was crucial that you kept those well child check visits on the timetable they were on and everything else. That was the only thing I asked him to do. And I got home from my trip and he and Ashley were all excited and they're showing me, they put speakers in my car. That's back when you had to add extra speakers into your car to get a good sound system in your car. And they had put these nice little speakers that had a lot of great sound. They put them in my car and then they were telling me some other things they did. And they were all excited about this. And while they're showing me how this works, I'm going, so how did Ashley's doctor's appointment go? And they both looked at me and I'm like, you forgot to take her, didn't you? I was so mad. And Wayne was like, well, I just put these speakers in the car. I said, I didn't ask you to put speakers in the car. I asked you to make sure Ashley got to the doctor's appointment. Seriously, and this was back in the early days of our Christian walk, so I still had to be delivered from a lot of stuff. I was a recovering perfectionist. I had a lot of anger issues then. I was so angry, I almost wanted to just rip the speakers out of the car. That's just where I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was livid about that. So, yes, we've had a little experience
about
that.
We've had a little bit of that, yep.
And I still forgave you, and I loved you anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So remembering good things about our spouse is in the face of frustration is key. Although these are minor examples, I say they can still lead to great frustration, as what you were just saying. Mm-hmm. In these times, it's best to stop and reflect on the good things about your spouse. Think about the top three favorite things about them. Remember why you fell in love with them in the first place, about what a good co-parent they are. You can reflect on your favorite experiences you've had with them, things like vacations you went on, your favorite cat who's sitting here at the table.
Jingling her collar.
And headbutting my ankle.
Oh.
She likes to headbutt for some odd reason. What you did, maybe if you had a bucket list or your wedding day or even the birth of your child, take a deep breath and concentrate on the good things about your spouse. This can help you calm down and not snap or blow up.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, now they tell us.
Yeah, now they tell me. I needed that like 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, so did I. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it goes on to say about some Bible verses. So what can we learn from this before we go to the Bible verses? I guess that's the thing.
Well, we're people and people make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter how perfect your marriage is. And again, when we do our podcast, we're talking in terms of typically healthy marriages. We're not talking about marriages that need help because things are skewed one way or the other. And I mean, we always say to you, if you're in that type of relationship, you need to get professional help to sort that out. But for the average couple who has a decent relationship, these things are going to crop up. And sometimes it depends on the seasons of your life. I think of the families that have multiple children, and because we only ever had one, and people that have multiple children that have multiple school activities, multiple sporting activities, church activities, all kinds of things, and their lives are just going crazy.
They're crazy
in one direction to another. I mean, I know our daughter tries to limit, and her husband tries to limit the amount of activities our twin grandsons have. And even with the few things that they have, it keeps them really busy. Mm-hmm. And so when we get busy, when we're stressed, and if we're working, and on top of this, and we have stress at the job, it can make it easy to be short, and it can make it easy to forget things, and it can make it easy to just not feel like doing things. Mm-hmm. And we have to have grace for each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's good to think to have this stuff out there too, because I mean, a lot of times I think people get married and it's going to be butterflies and unicorns, happily ever after, and no problems, no issues, and then reality sets in.
Yes, for those of you who are listening who are not married yet and are considering getting married, it is a learning curve to learn to live with each other. You know, I think there's things in the beginning that you just put up with. And then they get really annoying once you're living with it and you have to deal with it. It was, mm-hmm. I know we made a trade-off when we got married because me being a teacher, good grammar is important to me.
And I ain't got none.
Well, you do pretty much, except you had a bad habit of saying, I seen instead of I saw, which some of your family members say that mm-hmm. as well.
Yes, they do.
And that just went through me like fingers on a chalkboard. Like, that drove me crazy. But then it drove Wayne crazy that I would call everything a thingy. I would just, you know, the thingy over there, or the thingy that turns this, or whatever. So we made a deal with each other that he would stop saying I seen. He would use the correct verb tense. And I would stop saying thingy. And it's been interesting because still 41 years later, sometimes I'm still, it's like charades. Or some kind of like Pictionary or something where mm-hmm. I'm trying to tell him what something is to avoid
without
using
the word thingy.
Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. it's good to know that this is a normal part of marriage. You are going to get annoyed with each other, and depending on what season of life you're in, how you're feeling, what's going on, you know, what else is going on around mm-hmm. you, you may be annoyed with each other more so than not.
Well, and if you have kids, if you were raised one way and your spouse or significant other was raised another way, mm-hmm. you know, and you know, issues come up with the kids, whether it be disciplining or whatever, and you just, you know, mm-hmm. you choose to disagree. Yeah. So there are several Bible verses on here. They go on to say there's a whole bunch of verses that talk about loving your spouse. Genesis, let's see, Ephesians 5:21-23 says, "And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submitting to their husbands as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church." And then Ephesians 5:25 says, "For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ gave up the church. He gave his life for her."
These are probably two of the most controversial scriptures in the Bible. Mm-hmm. And when you hear these or when you read them, and I know we've talked about this other times, you need to read them in context. Mm-hmm. And you need to pay attention to what it's saying. It does not mean that the husband gets to boss the wife around.
Right, exactly.
That is not it. And it doesn't mean that the wife should disrespect her husband. Mm-hmm. But it's talking about likening it. Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for the church by laying down his life. Mm-hmm. So you have to think about it in that context. Yep. And make sure you get it. Don't get all up in arms and be emailing us. You have to understand, do some research. You can look up in a concordance. You've got all these online tools, Bible mm-hmm. Gateway, BibleHub.com, Blue Letter Bible,
all.com, all kinds of them, yep.
All kinds of things. Or it might be .orgs, but if you look up Bible study tools, you can find it and check it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So another one is Ephesians 4:32. "Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, and forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you."
There's a few in here, and you mm-hmm. can look up stuff. I like this one from Proverbs. "The man mm-hmm. who finds a wife is a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord." Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then it does the 1 Corinthians. Oh, it does spell it out here. I was thinking mm-hmm. it didn't. But
it's a lot shorter in this.
It is a lot shorter in this version.
Yeah, I'm not sure which version it is, but it's a lot shorter.
And then it's a choice. Mm-hmm. It's a choice for us to love our spouses even when they don't like. I just started to say that backwards. It's a choice to love our spouse even when we don't like what they do. Mm-hmm.
Or we don't feel like it. It's a choice to do it.
Right. But the mm-hmm. article goes on to say, besides remembering what love is and how the Lord wants us to love our spouses, we also remember that they are human like we are. We all have off days and habits that we have difficulty breaking. We all forget things from time to time. And even though we don't always like what our spouses do, we must always love them.
Yep. And then it ends by saying we do things and get on their nerves as well. So it's not just stuff that one spouse does.
Oh, no. It's mutual.
It's always two-sided. It's always mutual. This is part of being married and living with another human being. Learning about each other's idiosyncrasies. Well, that's another big word. Quirks and habits take a while. This doesn't come overnight. Living with someone differs from dating them. And they say, my husband and I have had days when we get on each other's nerves, but we still love each other. And that's what we do. I can't imagine when I would get on your nerves, but I'm sure I do sometime.
Well, you haven't for the last 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, or maybe even.
20 minutes, I guess, we've been talking.
Maybe 20, yeah. Yep. But anyway, they end the article by saying, however, no matter how frustrating it is, we are called to love our spouse as Christ loved the church. Like his love for us is forever, so is our love for our spouse, no matter what.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we hope that this article will be helpful to you. We are putting it in the description of the podcast, as always, so that you can access it. And until we talk with you the next time, we pray that your relationships will be richly blessed.
God bless. Bye now.
Bye.